Welcome to the Tenacious Heart Podcast. I'm your host, Taylor Cox. Here, I encourage, support, and coach on all things mental health. Whether it's anxiety, depression, ADHD, or managing your emotions, I've got you. I'll be your life coach, helping you build a life full of success, joy, and tenacity, one episode at a time. Hello, tenacious humans. It is Tuesday, December 6th, 2022. I am Taylor Cox, your life coach, and this is the Tenacious Heart Podcast. How is everybody doing? Can you believe there are 19 days until Christmas right now? Where did this year go? How is Christmas shopping going? Is your tree up? Are your lights up? Here is your friendly public service announcement for the day. The Christmas season isn't always holly and jolly for everyone. And that's okay. There are a lot of expectations surrounding the holidays and how the holidays should feel. I'm here to tell you that there are no shoulds when it comes to the holidays. Feel all the things that come to the surface, even if it's painful. Our emotions are there for a reason. They are absolutely allowed and have permission to be there. So go ahead and feel them out. My hope is that you are all doing well as it gets colder and colder. Also, I hope that those that are not doing so well will be able to get the support that they need. You're probably wondering, Taylor, it's Tuesday. Why are you recording in your closet on a Tuesday when your episode is supposed to air today? That is a very good question. My answer to that question is procrastination, avoidance, and putting it off. That's my answer. It's not a great answer, but it's my honest one. I just kept putting it off day after day, hour after hour, and now it's Tuesday morning, and I will be spending most of the day, one, seeing clients, two, editing this podcast in the hopes that I can get it out to you at least by tonight. That is the hope. That is the dream. I take accountability for my procrastination and for my avoidance. The end. Okay, let's move on. Everyone, we've got a new member here in the Tenacious Heart Podcast. It is a new mic stand, and it's making all the difference in the world. I tell you what, the one I had before couldn't be adjusted up and down. This one can, and it's awesome. It's making my ability to sit here and chat with you guys so much more comfortable. I do not have to hunch to be close to the mic, and I feel like we're getting better sound as well, which is good. Our Tenacious Heart moment is coming from Las Vegas, Nevada. This one comes from Brad. Hello, Brad. Brad shares, "Hello, Tenacious Heart Podcast. My name is Brad, and my THM will hopefully get you into the Christmas spirit. We have Salvation Army bell ringers all over the place. Most years, I try to awkwardly walk by without anyone asking me for money. I've always felt so weird about it, and I hate to admit, I've been a bit of a Scrooge about it. Some of my thoughts have been, I don't want some stranger pestering me for money. If I wanted to donate, I would. I don't need someone in my face making me feel uncomfortable. After listening to this week's episode on emotional maturity, I realized that this was a pretty big immaturity on my part. These people aren't doing anything to me. They genuinely are trying to help people. It's me who is annoyed, not them who is being annoying. So the next day, I gave the first Salvation Army bell ringer I came across $100. It was the least I could do, given how humbug I was the day before. Brad, I think we've all been there one way or another. Whether it's the Girl Scouts, the local elementary school selling chocolates, or maybe someone going door to door trying to sell you something, I think most would say that they've found themselves annoyed and feeling the awkward pressure that comes with somebody trying to make a sale. It's awesome that you were able to see that the Salvation Army aren't salespeople. They're just there in the hopes to be able to give back. I love your change of perspective. You stopped making it about them and what they were doing to you. You changed the frame and realized that it was your thoughts on the circumstances that were creating the bah humbugs. You even took it a step further and donated to a cause that helps over 14 million people around the world each year. Yes, I Googled it because I was curious. You did a very generous thing, and you're building your own self-awareness to boot. Great job, Brad. If you'd like to share your own Tenacious Heart moment from your past, present, or future, email me at tenaciousheartlifecoaching@gmail.com. The detailed instructions for how to have your moment shared on the pod are in the description below. Honestly, the easiest place to get all the details is at tenaciousheartlifecoaching.com/podcast. Now let's get into episode 11. On last week's episode, we talked all about emotional maturity versus emotional immaturity. If you missed it, go back to episode 10. You'll want to listen to it so you can have a better understanding of today's episode. We are going to be talking about the how. How do we deal with humans who have low emotional maturity, and how do we increase our own emotional maturity? Let's get to it. First, let's do a mini overview from last week's episode with just the basic definitions surrounding emotional maturity. Emotional maturity is about your ability to understand and manage your own emotions. An emotionally mature person has reached and continues to work at reaching a level of self-understanding with regards to their thoughts, feelings, and behaviors, and then decides how to best approach and cope with situations that might otherwise be trying or challenging. Being emotionally mature can help you reach successful resolutions to problems, as well as keep problems from overwhelming you. Emotional immaturity is the polar opposite of that. Emotional immaturity is having a low sense of self and a low ability to manage emotions. They have few coping skills and tend to project their emotions on others and expect them to change so that they can feel better. It's basically having others be responsible for their emotions and behaviors instead of owning their own feelings and actions. Emotionally immature humans tend to use ineffective coping strategies like projection, manipulation, gaslighting, defensiveness, name-calling, belittling, etc. They do this in order to serve their own ego, where they remain right and in control. So how do we keep our own sanity when having to interact with somebody like this? Especially if this person is family, a coworker, someone you have to regularly interact with. Like most things, healthy isn't easy. But you absolutely can keep your sanity and self-respect when you need to deal with a difficult human. I'm going to coach you and tell you how. Number one. Keep yourself regulated. Do not escalate with this person. Their emotions are going to get bigger, louder, and stronger, which will make their behaviors bigger, louder, and stronger. You are to stay as neutral as possible. Escalating with them gives them a free pass. They expect you to act exactly how they're going to act, which communicates, you were as horrible as I was, so I didn't do anything wrong because I did exactly what you did. One squirrel tangent, now that I'm thinking about it. If you want to have an amazing parenting hack, look into and become a master at co-regulation. Let's get back on track with staying regulated. Here are some pointers on practical skills you can use to keep your cool. Stop absorbing their words and emotions. Emotionally detach. That is totally allowed when you're dealing with an emotionally immature person because their capacity for emotional understanding is like a teaspoon. If you're continually dumping cups into their emotional bucket, they're going to get flooded and they're just going to escalate more. So you emotionally detach by not absorbing their words and emotions. You are not a sponge in this moment. You are concrete. You are present and hearing, but you're not absorbing it. You're not taking anything they're saying or doing personally. You know this isn't about you. You're going to remind yourself of this by saying over and over and over in your head, "This is not about me. This is not about me." Or something like, "I will not escalate with this person. I am remaining detached." Or, "I'm keeping my cool. I'm staying neutral." Whatever you choose your coping phrase to be, have it planned ahead of time. If you know you're heading home for Christmas and your difficult person is going to be there, have something prepared that you can say to yourself, because it's not if you will need it, it's when you will need it. Number two, box breathing. For you to stay regulated, you are going to need as much oxygen as you can get to your brain. We practiced this skill at the end of last week's episode. Your cerebral cortex, that is the front forehead side of your brain. Your cerebral cortex is in charge of your emotions, reasoning, and ability to make judgments. Your cerebral cortex needs oxygen to have a better chance of staying online. Tune out the difficult person for a bit and focus on your breath. You're going to breathe in for a count of four. You are going to hold that breath for a count of four. Then you're going to breathe out for a count of six. Repeat this for as long as this person is talking. This breathing technique is going to help your cerebral cortex stay online so that you can use good reasoning, good judgment, and that you can keep your emotions better in check. Next one. You are totally allowed to respectfully interrupt this person and remove yourself as the audience. That is okay. You have permission to leave. There is this strange social belief that if you're in an argument with somebody, that you shouldn't leave, that it's disrespectful or something. Look, I'm not saying it's okay for you to drive off from your spouse and be gone for hours. I'm not saying that. I'm saying take a break and go to the other room. If this person is especially immature and you don't live with this person or share the same space, yeah, leave. Respectfully interrupt and say firmly, "I do not engage in communication like this. It sounds like you're in no place to be talking the way that you are either. I'm going to go. If you want to resolve this through healthy adult communication, I'm all for it. You let me know when you're ready to talk. I'm for sure going to go." Then you turn around and leave no matter what is being said to you. Or it could go like this. "Hey, I can see you're really upset. You're important to me, and I want to be able to have this conversation effectively and respectfully. I'm going to go take a 30-minute break. I need some alone time, and I think that would be good for you too. Let's set a timer and meet back here in 30 minutes. This can be you go to the room and they go to the kitchen, or you go to the break room, or your car, or the bathroom. You are human. Your capacity to be able to endure a difficult human without breaking or engaging will be small at first. If you can feel yourself escalating, disengage, take a break. Take the time you need to center yourself and then come back. Say a very specific time that you will be back and come back. What's also great about this strategy is that it forces the other person to cool off. You remove the audience, you remove the stimulus, they are going to calm down. No one can sustain escalation on their own for too long. You'll come back and the person will be calmer. Next, self-soothe. This is a DBT skill that I love. DBT meaning dialectical behavior therapy. It helps you keep your cerebral cortex online so that you don't get into fight, flight, or freeze, or fawn. Don't worry, those will all be a whole episode in the future. Pick one of your five senses or choose multiple. Focus on a smell. Focus on what your shirt feels like. Pop a piece of gum or a mint into your mouth and focus on the taste. Focus your attention on the sound of the ticking clock. Start counting the tick-tocks. Look at the difficult person and focus on what they look like, their features, their clothes, their hair. This will help you emotionally detach by shifting your focus to what your nervous system is experiencing. It will help your nervous system to change focus, which will help you feel more calm and in control. Our next how-to, ice. You want to stay cool? Keep cool. Keeping your body temperature cool will keep your mind and emotions cooler. Confrontation usually gets your heart pumping, which will increase your body temperature. Grab a bag of ice. Grab an ice pack. Fill a bowl up with ice water and put your hands in there. Get really, really cold as you can stand. You can even go as far as communicating, hey, I'm going to go take a break and take a cold shower. This conversation is important to me and I want to be able to be effective. Give me 10 minutes. Of course, this is all if you have it available at the time. Our next how-to, building awareness through physical symptoms. This will be our segue into how to build your own emotional maturity because it works for both on how to manage a person who is immature and also how to increase your own emotional maturity. How do specific emotions feel in your body while you're feeling them? What physical symptoms surface when you feel happy, when you feel sad, when you feel anger, when you feel disappointed? The more you know about how your body reacts to specific emotions, the more likely you'll be able to regulate the emotions sooner because you'll feel it in your body first before your mind will be able to label it. Think about the last time you felt a really strong emotion. You felt physical symptoms in your body first before you could recognize what you were feeling. These physical symptoms are your body's red flags, communicating to you that you're escalating, that these emotions and feelings will get bigger if you don't intervene. Often, we don't intervene until our brain recognizes what's going on. Oh, I'm seriously angry. Here is a list of the most common physical symptoms that you want to develop an awareness around when you're feeling strong emotion. Heaviness in your chest, increased heart rate or chest pain, shoulder, neck, or back pain, general body aches and pains, headaches, heat traveling up your neck and face. This could also change the coloring of your face and neck or create blotchiness, tight stomach, or that pit in my stomach feeling, sweaty palms or increased perspiration, grinding your teeth or clenching your jaw, overall body tightness like clenched fists or legs, shortness of breath, dizziness, feeling more tired than usual, losing or gaining weight, changes in your eating habits, sleeping more or less than usual, gastrointestinal problems, including upset stomach, diarrhea, or constipation. Lastly, avoiding responsibilities, not showing up in your life. This giant list of physical symptoms is a segue into how we can increase our own emotional maturity. Firstly, increase your self-awareness. Get curious when you're feeling triggered, provoked, or any increase in difficult emotion. Why are you feeling this way? If I'm in charge of my own emotions, why am I getting so worked up? What are my circumstances, thoughts, emotions, and behaviors? Get curious, not judgmental. What's this reaction about? What's going on inside of me that's creating this emotionally immature behavior? Why do I feel so much pressure to please? Why do I get so mad so fast? Why can't I be fully honest with my feelings? Do some exploring here, people. Build up your own self-awareness. Get curious about your own emotions, your own physical symptoms, and your own behavior. If you cannot do this self-awareness work on your own, I encourage you to reach out for therapy, counseling, or even coaching. Whatever your cup of tea is, if you can't figure out why you do the things you do on your own, go get the support from a professional. There is too much taboo surrounding getting emotional and mental help. A non-judgmental third party will help you sort through the emotional immaturity by helping you recognize how that pattern got there in the first place. Another one, increase your coping skills toolbox. Eating a sleeve of Oreos isn't going to work. Exploding and giving a person a piece of your mind isn't going to be effective. Staying silent and small isn't going to be a long-term solution. Those are not effective coping skills. You need a whole toolbox of strategies that will help you manage and regulate your own emotions. These skills will help you harness your inner strength so that you can be your best self in really difficult moments. This is one of the biggest things I personally do as a coach. I support you in growing your toolbox and to be as effective with those tools as possible. You may have a coping skill like a hammer, but you're using it like a screwdriver. I'd love to be the one to help you master these coping skills. Head to my website, tenaciousheartlifecoaching.com/contact, to schedule your free consultation with me today. Our next how to increase our own emotional maturity, self-care. I know self-care has turned into this cringy cliche, but it's true. Queen Brené says, if you want to make the most of your abilities and become the most self-actualized version of yourself you can, then you actually have to love yourself first. I don't think you can truly change for the better in a lasting, meaningful way unless it is driven by self-acceptance. Let's stop practicing society's version of self-care. Let's practice self-love. What would you do and say to someone you deeply love? How would you treat that person? Start treating yourself with the same grace, respect, and love you would for your best and most trusted friend. In my opinion, that is where your journey to increase your emotional maturity should always start. If this is an area you cannot do on your own, please, please, please come see me or any other professional. It's got to start with you because it's always been about you. Here are 13 questions to help you determine your own emotional maturity. These come from the work of Lindsay C. Gibson. Holy bajoli, her work and research on emotional immaturity is amazing. If you are interested in any of this, go check out her books. Our first question is, do I tend to overreact to relatively minor things? Number two, Do I tend to react to difficult circumstances, or do I tend to respond to difficult circumstances? 3, am I able to label and understand exactly what I'm feeling when I'm emotionally flooded? 4, are you comfortable when others confide in you their emotional feelings, or do you tend to feel uncomfortable? 5, are you often irritated by individual differences or different points of view? 6, are you a reliable confidant? When asked to keep someone's confidence, do you honestly keep it to yourself? 7, do you often say or do things before thinking about how it could impact someone else? 8, is it difficult for you to understand others' feelings? Is it difficult to understand behavior that you don't agree with? 9, are your regular conversations with friends and family centered on your life and interests? 10, do you feel like you need to defend yourself and your opinions during disagreements? 11, when a decision needs to be made, is your decision often chosen? 12, do you often accept and use new ideas from others when trying to get the best results? 13, are you likely to engage and seek out gossip surrounding family members, friends, or neighbors? Your homework this week is the same as last week. Get out your journal or a notebook and answer these questions. These questions touch a lot of different areas where one could be emotionally immature. This kind of self-reflection builds self-awareness, which builds emotional maturity. All of these questions and the answers to these questions are already posted on my blog, www.tenaciousheartlifecoaching.com/podcast. All social media links and ways you can support the pod are always in the description below. That's it, everybody. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you for listening. I hope that each episode I put out that you're getting the coaching you need to be able to become the person you've always wanted to be, because that's what I'm here for. I'll be here again next Tuesday for episode 12. Have a great week, everyone. I'll see you there. Bye.